Hey all, Matt here. Just wanted to give a quick disclaimer at the start of this episode. These episodes were recorded about a month ago in January, and I've been sitting on them for a while. Some other stuff came up, a little bit lack of motivation to get these edited. But with the recent news that just got announced today, I found a bit of inspiration. So anything that we talk about again is about a month old, just to be prepared. So if there's anything that the timing feels weird, that is why. My plan this year is to be more consistent with Dock of Shame uploads, and we have a bunch of other stuff on the rest of our Teamcast Productions podcasts. So feel free to go check those out. Virtual Ball Boys, The Gaming Coop, Table Party. All great shows. I'm involved in all of them, and you should definitely go give them a watch. Anyway, on with the episode.
Last time on...
I wonder if it's foreshadowing!
Back in middle school, I took the time out of my day to buy Gangnam Style from the App Store.
And then Owen goes, "Oh, a dude's alliance, it's so manly, come here." And then he kisses Duncan and DJ on the cheeks.
Just the queer panic that Owen exhibits every single time this season.
Do you think you're safe?
What?
What?
What? What the fuck is
happening? Prepare to be a baby!
Oh no! Oh no! I didn't know she was coming to real life!
Welcome, campers, to the Dock of Shame podcast. My name is Matt. I will be your host for today. Joined with me are...
My name is Chris, and pee is stored in the balls.
My name is Matt, and semen is stored in our hearts.
My name is Gabe, and I just referenced a website.
Fun. How's everyone doing? It's been like 2 months since we've recorded or something.
Yeah, has it really been that long? Damn.
Yeah. And it's weird me asking how we're doing because we record other podcasts so often.
Uh-huh. Well, I will say this though: it is the first podcast recording of 2021. So congratulations,
that's right,
everyone! We are here.
Yeah, we made it. We've been going for about a year. The 31st of December was actually the 1 year anniversary of when we uploaded episode one.
Ooh.
So that's pretty neat. Go us.
Fun fact, on the day of us recording, it is also the 1 year anniversary of us adopting our dog.
There you go.
We have a dog?
No.
he says no.
No.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
It's kind of, and the fact that we are only halfway through the season is both insane and also semi-torturous, because I kind of want to get the total drama action.
I mean, we're almost there. We got, what, 7 people left after today's recording session?
I think so, something along those, yeah. Those lines.
We only got a few months. Fun fact about myself, I have been participating, and this was not since the last time we recorded, I've been participating in an ORG, an online reality game of Survivor. Ooh. Since like the end of November, and I've been insufferable throughout the entire thing, because it's more stressful than you would imagine. But I bring this up just to say, I know what these contestants are going through on Total Drama.
Gives you some new perspective on the tortured natures of these cartoon characters here.
Well, the thing is that, like, so part of it is, so in Total Drama, they're the heroes, they're the villains, they're the whoevers, the background characters. Mm-hmm. In this game, like, everyone's nice. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, like, outright villain. So it sucks to vote people out, and there's still just that always sense of paranoia of like, oh, it could be me, or like, what if I did this instead kind of thing. that's been going on. I don't want to give any specifics about anything that's in the game, just because of game integrity. But I am. We started with 28. Tomorrow night is the final 8 vote. So, like, oh, wow. I'm near the end. Yeah. We'll see if I'm able to make it through. By the next time we record this, the game will be over. So I'll let you know how I did 2 episodes from this one.
All right.
I mean, let's be real here. Matt here is going to be walking away with the title, man. I mean, this is a foregone conclusion.
Please don't jinx me.
So Matt, what you're saying?
This is an anti-jinx. You won't be winning. You'll lose.
Oh, thanks for the vote of confidence, buddy.
You got to pick one or the other.
I know. You could just say nothing.
What you're saying is, at this point, you have made it so far in the game that if this was in fact a total drama-rama animated style game, you would not only be one of the main cast, but there would most definitely be fan art of you on DeviantArt.
I guess that is what I'm saying, yes.
Perfect.
You've made it.
You made it!
I have.
Matt Ball OC.
Matt Ball OC. Can you draw Ball OCs of all of our total drama?
Oh, no. I'm just going to take the art I already did of you guys and just find, like, some, like,
that's
ball
fucking nightmare fuel.
Just
ball maker.
Yeah.
Just take one of your brushes and use, like, the blow-up tool just to make us in all, like, spheres.
God. That's so stupid. Okay, anyways, we are a podcast about total drama. And today we are discussing episode 18, That's Off the Chain.
Chain, that's chain. Off.
What bikes?
Don't you need the chain? It's not good if you're off the chain.
You want to be on point, man.
Yeah, but it's like the. Never mind. Oh! Previews. What?
Oh, no.
What's happening? What are we reacting to?
I mean, you can just say the recap at any point. We're just here.
Okay.
We're just here vibing.
In the recap, Chris does mention the guy's alliance, says it stinks for Jeff that Bridget got voted out, but then again, so did she. And one of Chris's questions is, will I be stuck hosting for the rest of my life?
Oh, little he knew.
Little he knew.
That especially the fact that he will only be known for hosting shows,
yep.
And he won't even get a character as a baby in the Mamas.
What a rip
Question,
off!
Do you guys know what Chris's thing was before he was a host, like in universe?
No, I
do not actually.
All right, I'll keep it a secret.
Will Tor expose that?
Was he a baby?
Yeah, was he? Was he
at
preparing?
Some point? Chris McClane was probably a baby.
Sure.
Just came out the womb as Chris McClane.
I don't have proof.
I feel like with that kind of monstrous soul that he absolutely, this was his one and true form.
He came out the womb and he was like, last time.
Last time.
In my mother's womb.
Yeah.
God.
It's like a whole fucking camera crew inside there.
And they never heard from his mother ever again.
We start out with everyone is playing frisbee except for Heather and Lindsay, who are sitting off alone. Lindsay is swatting flies. Nice.
Starting strong.
Starting great. Swatting flies for some reason. Like, I don't know who takes a fly swatter to a dock. Just to swat at flies. Like what?
Well, so if we're gonna stay in character here, I would imagine that Heather wanted to avoid other flies being around her and asked Lindsay, like, "Hey, bitch, take this fly swatter and take care of these annoying pests for me while I lay and relax."
I accept that reality.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who knows what kind of flies they are. Like, they could be horse flies that bite the shit out of you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You won't get like a gnat, like their gnats, or like a Lyme disease or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah. But right after that, Heather takes the fly swatter, swats Lindsay with it, and then asks Lindsay to cut her toenails for her. Truly, just setting up what happens in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. This is not at all any. There's no foreshadowing or anything. This is just what we're used to at this point.
Yep. We know that Jeff is crying in the outhouse because he's so upset that Bridget got voted off. He's singing "Baby Come Back," but it's like really off tune.
Is that what he was singing?
Wait, yes. Really?
Oh my god! All I heard was "Oh."
I wonder if it was done that way on purpose to avoid copyright.
Oh, it absolutely was.
I mean, I guess that's why he said all like the something somethings in the middle.
Right.
Wherever the boat of losers takes you.
Yeah, basically.
Duncan wants to go check on Jeff. The girls find it weird, but Heather mentions, oh, they've got that guy's alliance. And Lindsay mentions, hey, what if we make an all-girls alliance so we'll outnumber them? And Heather just swats her. Even though numbers-wise, that's 5 girls versus 4 guys. And that's more numbers.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's Heather. Like, she doesn't want to associate with anyone
else.
Oh,
I know. But
well, I will say, though, like, I feel like early on in the game, Heather seemed like to be on that train of thought, on that game plan, to at least start building, like, a little bit of something. All of a sudden, I guess just because too many people have stood up to her and actually said how much of a horrible human being she was, maybe she's just like, hey, now I'm just in it for myself.
Yeah, and the her options with the girls are Izzy, who she's kind of aligned with or was implied to be in the last episode, LaShawn, and then LaShawn and Gwen, who both hate Heather. So,
yeah, that's true. Is it only that one episode that Izzy even appears to be aligned with Heather?
With Heather, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
speaking of that, though, and before we get too far, I did want to say, during the recap, they did clear up the mystery as to who Jeff voted for, as he did not vote for Bridget. And so he was loyal.
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, I did. I don't watch the recaps ever.
No, like even last episode, I knew that Jeff did not vote for Bridget. I just want to know where all the votes came from then.
Yeah. That,
or where the votes went when we were talking about that.
Yeah, I didn't think he voted for Bridget either. But I were to guess, it would be like Izzy pulled a 200 IQ and voted Bridget.
That could have worked. Owen, when Jeff gets out of the outhouse, Owen crushes his spine, and he's still really mopey, but then smells bacon and snaps out of it, so he's good.
Yeah, that's the cure for grief. It's a good old slab of bacon. Feel bad for vegetarians that have to deal with grief.
Chris comes on the loudspeaker to announce the next challenge, and they have to meet at the Arts and Crafts Center. Yep. And then they get there.
When was that ever established?
What? No.
When was that place ever established?
It's never been.
Never.
And then Duncan shows up and he's like, more like Arts and Crap Center. And Chris reveals he used to be an outhouse, so he's not that far off. I want to know what that was censored to.
I'm sure it was.
Oh, I'm sure it was censored too. I
Arts and Loser Center.
Is that what it was?
I have no idea. I'm
checking.
I'm going what my best, you know, the Cartoon Network style censorship is going to be, because fucking they're oftentimes does not at all work.
More like the Arts and Junk Center.
Yeah.
Got him. I mean,
yeah, like come on.
That's even more effective.
Yep.
It's even more effective. Critical
it's
hit.
Super effective.
So the challenge for this this challenge, I guess, is to build a hot rod. Owen is psyched. Duncan is not. Or at least just doesn't want to high-five Owen. Owen then finds out that it's bicycles instead of hot rods, motorcycles. So he's like, yeah, less awesome. Still good. Oh, and they also mentioned that this shed was where Chef kept his Roadhog. Why does he have a motorcycle, like a personal motorcycle, on the island?
Also, never established.
No,
I'm going to take a I'm just going to take a wild guess is that it's either that he did that he could just go ahead and use the motorcycle and drive it around as like just a luxury of his, just while their challenges are going on and he has no part of it, or yeah. It's a slightly associated to the big reveal that we find out much later in the series.
Oh, so you know.
I know that plot twist, yes.
Okay.
What?
What? Don't worry about it.
All will be revealed eventually, my friends.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Well, actually, just real quick, because I'm not gonna say what it is, but isn't it revealed in the total drama? Yeah, I watched that episode. It is revealed there. Okay, I just want to clarify. Yeah.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about then.
Yep.
So, what are we talking about?
Don't worry about it.
You'll get there.
I'm worrying.
What are we talking
it's
about?
Fine. Get there. It's fine. So the best design wins, and when everyone's like, we don't know how to build a bike, Chris throws them a bike manual that has fur on it.
Hell yeah.
It's mold!
Duncan mentions that he used to build bikes, and then changes that to he used to steal them from local dweebs.
How does that correlate? Like...
That's the joke, because Duncan's a bully.
Well, it's a bad joke.
It's a bad joke, and yeah. Duncan is still horrible.
Lindsay mentions that she never got a Sunset Sally bike for Christmas, and Owen and DJ are just so upset that Santa didn't bring them one. And Duncan pep talks them up, like, "Hey, get your head in the game. We need to win this. We need to win this challenge." And Heather overhears them, thinks they're cute for trying to be stealthy about it, and then decides that she wants to dismantle Chef's bike for hers.
I'm surprised this didn't carry more negative issues.
The overhearing or Chef's bike?
Chef's bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
It was like, oh, okay, so that's going to give you a major advantage. Literally, Chef never says a thing, and no one else ever says a thing. It never comes up again. And it's just like, oh, okay, so then, like, we could have had just a regular cutscene of them building a bike, and then it could have had the same impact.
But... Well, it is like, the important thing is that Heather makes Lindsay steal the motor off of it, which is an advantage that she has that no one else does.
It's also just building on the plot point of the Heather making Lindsay do everything.
Yes, because Lindsay builds Heather's bike. Because how else can Heather save Lindsay unless Heather wins, right?
Of course.
Duh. And then a bird shits on Heather.
Fitting.
Duh.
There's your ramifications if you're looking for it.
There you go.
Yay. I'd also like to say, too, I mean, like, I expected, like, more consequences, but also, I don't think Chef says anything in this episode.
I don't think he does either.
And then I was thinking, furthermore, he doesn't say anything in the next episode either.
Does he not?
Nope.
Could they just not get his voice actor for these episodes?
And I could be wrong, I don't know maybe where I'm remembering this from, but isn't his voice actor the same as DJ's?
It might be.
There's a chance.
Hold on, I'm sending the research department on it.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a team of people waiting on us just for a clarification.
While we wait for them, let's see. We have.
Yeah, no, it's the same actor, and like.
Okay, it is. So it is Clay Bennett.
Yeah, DJ speaks. Yeah. So it's right. Like, no, they just decided not to give Chef any lines.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I wonder if for more episodes to come, how far we will go without hearing Chef's sultry voice.
It is now part of a recurring segment known as Chef Watch.
Chef Watch.
Dun 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 dun. It's just crossfades of Chef, different images of Chef.
The guys are building bikes together, kind of working on it as a group. And while that's going on, DJ is wrapping himself in safety pads. Jeff is painting a picture of Bridget, and Owen kills a bird with his fart because we needed to get one of those in.
Yeah.
Classic Owen.
You couldn't give Chef a line, but you had to give Owen a fart.
Yep.
Priorities.
Cut back to the girls. Lashana's wondering where this goes and is holding up a bike pedal. And is just very confused because there are too many pieces. Mentions that Heather and Lindsay are still sharing a brain, so there's not much they can do strategy-wise. But Izzy then calls Lashana over because Izzy built her bike and asks Lashana to come with her. Izzy mentions that her brother was a mechanic before he got run over, which is terrifying.
Yeah, he got run over, and now he's scared of motorized vehicles. Yeah,
I forgot about that specific line. Izzy says, "Hey, your extra weight will help out with speed." Lashana says, "I'm going to pretend that's a compliment."
And then Izzy's like, "Okay."
And then they pedal off a cliff.
Yeah,
and never heard from them again this episode.
Yep, and then we go. We come back to Lindsay and Heather, and Lindsay has to Heather says, "Look, it's an ugly doll with pretty hair, just like you." Lindsay then mentions how she usually says the wrong things. Her math teacher's new toupee looked like her dog's butt, which was a compliment because her dog had the cutest butt.
I mean, I would take it as a compliment. It's a cute little butt.
And then she mentioned a three-way call-in attack between her friends where she implied that one of them was cheating on the other and then they broke up. And she was like, it was so random.
I hope it had nothing to do with me.
Cut back to the guys. DJ is testing his helmet. And then Duncan, Jeff, and Owen start talking about their very painful experiences.
Just gruesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of messed up. I mean, like,
yeah.
What's the worst any of you have like ever been hurt in? Like, I mean, even like, let alone just riding a bike. I was like, oh my god.
I have a story of someone else.
Oh.
Okay. Content warning for the next, I don't know, minute.
5 minutes. Yeah.
So I had a friend once who was, scouting or something, and he tumbled down the hill on a mountain bike, and the bar went into his body, and he was able to see his liver.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I fell backwards and broke my wrist one time. And that's it.
That's all.
I've never had like any type of accident, so I'm lucky enough to like say that. Yeah. But
knock on wood.
Meanwhile, I slammed my thumb in a car door at a Friendly's one time and broke my thumb.
Oh
yeah, I remember you telling me that story.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing this post about there's a Reddit for people who have never broken bones, and someone posted on there and he was like, well, it's been fun, guys, just broke a bone. And then everyone was yelling like, ha ha ha, weak bones, go drink some milk, idiot, type of thing.
I went through a McDonald's drive through once and I got decapitated.
Oh my god.
Did
you die?
I it's all good. I got a replacement head.
Okay.
It's been replaced by a chicken McNuggets. What the
fuck? Chris, are you okay?
Where did that come from?
Why are you dying?
What is with all this random stuff?
I don't know.
No, I just got rid of an egg.
I took a nap right before this, so I have some new energy that I don't know where it's coming from.
I'm all for it.
Well, this new energy is bringing some weird energy to the studio today.
But anyway, after Duncan mentions his collarbone poking out of him, and Jeff mentions his skin hanging off of him, and Owen mentions the fact that three doctors had to hold him in place while they put his shoulder back in place. Mm. DJ puts on a knight's helmet instead.
Love these yummy, delicious bone breaking stories.
Mm, yeah. Bone apple teeth.
We get to look over all of the bikes. Heather mentions that hers only weighs 2 ounces. Did the show say? Oh, like her brain. I think Lashana said that. I forgot.
It was Gwen.
No, it was probably
Gwen. Gwen said that.
Yeah, because Lashana and
Lashana's not here.
Yeah, Lashana and Izzy. Actually, if you might not have noticed it, after Lashana and Izzy got on the bike, a title card actually came up, and all it said, and the screen turned black and white, and it just said they were never seen again.
It's like the Dark Souls game over thing. Like, you died.
Yeah. we see Gwen's. It is spooky, yet practical. Duncan's is very Mad Max. Lindsay's is like a horse, like the Sunset Sally bike that she wanted. DJ is dressed in full protective garb. Chris calls him lame. Jeff has Bridget's face on the front of his bike. Owen has a tricycle. And then Chris says, hey, has anyone seen Izzy or Lashana? And we cut down. And they're alive. They're riding down the hill still. Lashana is screaming. Izzy is having the time of her life. Then we get to the race.
Oh, wait. Sorry. when they're on Lindsay's bike, she does ask Chris to, like, ring it. And how the... Because she has a bell on it. And how originally... Yeah. The original one would, like, neigh like a pony. And I was like, oh no, Lindsay was a... you know what? Thank God Lindsay wasn't a horse girl. Because they didn't get her that for Christmas. That's why she didn't get it for Christmas. Because they didn't want her to become a horse girl.
They didn't want her to be a horse girl. She would be a horse girl, though, if she had the choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has brony written all over her.
I don't think that far.
But bronies are for... male fans.
Would we really be surprised if Lindsay was a My Little Pony fan? I wouldn't.
No.
No.
But, no.
I would not be.
So it is actually a race. It's not just build the best bike. They do have to race them. But they're gonna race someone else's bike.
They
draw their names randomly, and if their bike makes it across, then they get to race their own bike in the final round. So it's kind of like it becomes, did you build your bike well enough that anyone could ride it and sturdy enough that it like makes the whole race?
It's like Masonic Riders. It's not just a race. It's a special race to see who's the fastest.
That's what a race is.
Dr. Eggman says that.
I hate Sonic dialogue. Heather's trying to strategize about the best way to the best way for them to get across. She's very glad that Lindsay has her bike because it'll be easy for Lindsay to get to the next round, and then for Heather to then race it in the next one. One more check to see where Lashana and Izzy are, and they're in a river, and Lashana is literally crying.
Yeah, they're just fucking going.
They're just going.
Aren't they, like, riding on top of water?
Yep. They're riding on top of water with, like, logs going by them.
There they go.
Yeah. There they go, breaking the laws of physics.
But it's Izzy we're talking about.
Yeah, well, yeah, Izzy is allowed to break all laws of physics.
See, Lashana might not appreciate it now, but Izzy is doing a, like, 300 IQ move
for both, 100%.
For both her and Lashana.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. you are right. We get back to the starting line. We see Heather is on DJ's bike. Lindsay is on Heather's. Duncan is on Lindsay's. DJ is on Jeff's. Owen is on Duncan's. And Jeff is on Gwen's. And they don't show Gwen at the starting line for some reason, but we'll see later that she's on Owen's bike. They just forgot to put Gwen in.
Oops.
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 And Chris, before the challenge starts, for the first time, checks for paramedics.
What?
Wow, character development?
care for contestants' safety? Chris could never.
I mean, he literally puts, like, landmines on the racetrack.
Well, that's in the second race. Oh. This is the first one.
Oops, spoiler.
Oh, glad he wanted the paramedics on for this one and not,
Yep. Yeah. Not the other one.
Well, this was his opportunity to show to a nationwide audience that, like, oh, look, see, I do care about these contestants. So that way he can literally watch them die on the second race.
Oopsie.
Totally. Owen and Heather both can't move. Owen is on Duncan's, Heather is on DJ's. They can't move. Duncan is going pretty fast on his, but then Lindsay passes him. And she's like, sweet ride, right? DJ and Jeff are both doing well there. And then as Jeff goes back as Jeff passes DJ, he goes, hey, man, I use top of the line bolts. And then we get a confessional where Jeff goes, okay, so I forgot the bolts.
Like, how do you just forget that?
Which made me laugh really hard. So the bike DJ's on falls apart. Jeff wipes out on it too, so both of them are out. Mm-hmm. Heather is, at this point, just pushing hers and runs into the pile. So her bike is out too. Owen finally pulls the skull that's on the front of it and just fucking vroom.
Yeah.
Okay,
so go ahead.
I have a question, though. Mm-hmm. How did he get a motor?
Good question.
So... It must have been in with the parts, is my guess.
Yeah.
But what gets me is that when Duncan's... So the issue that Owen is having and why he can't go is because Duncan's bike doesn't have any pedals. And it has a motor that he has to pull the skull on. But when Duncan first shows his bike to Chris, and Chris is looking at all the bikes, Duncan's bike has pedals.
Hmm. Duncan took the pedals off.
I guess so, because
yeah,
he ain't got no pedals.
Right, and it's like it's a very strange moment. You're kind of like, wait, because I think a lot of us would have been like, oh man, we should have seen that earlier. But the truth is, there isn't. There's no, because there's many continuity, whatever the fuck it is, errors in the show.
Continuity.
There you go. That's the word.
Oh, Matt.
And Owen, I think, passes the finish line first, and then goes around the entire island. And while that happens, Lindsay, Gwen, and Duncan all pass as well. They get to the their bikes get to the final round, and then Owen is freaking out, and they're trying to figure out how to stop it, and Duncan yells slam the hood ornament, and when Owen slams it, it stops instantly, and he wipes out.
We can wait until the next race to talk about this, but then, so to me, this bike's effectiveness goes out the window immediately after this one, because it's like it doesn't work the same way in the second race.
That's true. Huh? Didn't think about that. But anyway, Lindsay, Owen, Heather, and Duncan all have their bikes pass the first round into the final race. Lindsay goes up to Heather and is like, is this part where you help save my butt? And, you know, Heather still wants to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
We get another cut to Lashana and Izzy, who are still biking, and they pass by a squirrel, and the squirrel's skin just flies off.
Wait, skin or fur?
Fur.
Fur.
The squirrel's holding on to them for dear life, and then to imply they're going so fast, the fur flies off.
Yeah, yes, if the skin fell off, we would have seen some muscles.
Some nasty stuff.
Some muscles and skeletons.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Breaking news.
Okay.
So for the second half of the race, for right where we are right now in the episode, the pedals are back on the bike.
Are you serious? I didn't even know.
Yes, so the second time. They must have been like detachable, like parts that he could like attach on and off.
Don't try to justify their continuity error.
Yeah, so yeah, pedals are on Duncan's bike, and yeah, so that's how bike go.
Cool. So Heather, Owen, Lindsay, and Duncan are all at the starting line on their own bike. Owen and Lindsay are having fun talking to each other, but Duncan is being Mr. No Fun and just tells Owen to focus. And we get a announcement from Chris where he mentions the moto, cross, challenge.
I actually like snorted when I saw that. I don't know why that got me. It just did.
Man, I spelled piranhas wrong twice. Okay. So they Chris introduced the death traps that are now on the course. We have landmines, we have an oil slick, and then you have a pool of jumping piranhas, which you can easily go around.
Yeah, you know, you don't really think about these things, but...
Yep.
Damn, Matt, why don't I just go around the whole track then?
I don't know, Walsh. Maybe you should have made your bike aquatic.
Dang it. Well, the bike... tires have air in them. I'm invincible.
Just fill them with helium.
Yeah,
and then fly. Just remember the pedals back on.
We hear right at this moment that the first person across gets invincibility, and the last person across is immediately voted out.
What? Excuse me?
Walsh, are you okay?
So, a new part of this challenge. What the fuck is happening? New part of this challenge is that if you are the last one to cross, you are immediately voted out.
Mm-hmm.
Rendering the invincibility part useless.
Yeah, so that was that, and it was a sticky point later, and we'll get to that.
Yeah,
and then the other part of this whole thing is that, like, literally, almost the entire, all the contestants almost could have ignored this challenge completely, like LaShawna and Izzy did, and yes, be completely safe,
like,
and
Jeff,
not have to worry about any of it.
Jeff and DJ and Gwen right now are all out because none of their bikes made it over.
Yeah.
And they're safe.
Yeah, they're safe. Like, what is this thinking?
I don't know. It's for the drama, Chris. It's for the drama.
It's for the funny voting out memes.
Yep. You've heard of Do It for the Vine. Get ready for Do It for the Drama.
Do It for the Drama. Heather wants Lindsay to test everything before she goes through it, and then and like the mines and the oil, and then to keep the piranhas busy while she sneaks through to win. Lindsay wants to win one for herself, though. But then if Heather was in danger, who would come up with all the new strategies, right?
Right.
But it's okay, because Lindsay's definitely going to be in second. We start the race. Owen gets blown up by a landmine. Rest in peace. Lindsay gets shot ahead by a landmine. We see Duncan wipe out on the oil slick while Lindsay goes through it and clears a path with the broom on the back of her bike.
I think it's a mop.
For Heather to go through.
Yeah, I think it's a mop.
Mop, whatever. why would it...
A mop makes more sense because it picks up stuff.
I think it's one of those liquid brooms.
Okay, I'm going to look at a picture of it because I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be a broom, because like you ride brooms.
I am rewatching the episode. Duncan is dying, and he does have pedals, by the way. That's what I wanted to check again. And it does look like a broom, but I will say a mop would make more sense.
Yes, I will grant that.
Oh, okay.
And then Lindsay kind of just skips across the water very easily, but gets stuck at the end. Heather puts in her fast mode and leaps over the pool and Lindsay, crosses the line. Everyone is upset that Heather is invincible. Lindsay crosses the finish line. I will repeat that. Lindsay crosses the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Runs up to Heather and goes, "We did it! We're safe!" And Chris goes, "Well, actually, Duncan and Owen never crossed the finish line."
Hold on, wait.
And I did...
Owen does cross the finish line, but his bike does not. That was going to be a sticking point for me for like a second, because I was rewatching, and when Owen gets blown up, he hits the ground and then like bounces right past Chef, past the finish line, like over it. But he doesn't have his bike, and I think Chris does say bike.
Okay. So, but that does happen.
Yes. Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt.
That's okay. But since Duncan and Owen wiped out, did not cross the finish line, Lindsay was the last one to cross. So therefore, Lindsay is eliminated.
That's some BS.
Why do they do this to the good characters? I don't understand. Like, I genuinely, like, and there's one that's even more infuriating, as we've teased before, but the gall of this fucking show to be like, oh, well, the technicality is that Lindsay crossed the finish line, even though she was only the second person who completed the fucking challenge! Like,
still the last one, though.
It's such asinine. It's such asinine bullshit.
I love how fucking stupid it is.
I don't.
At the end of the day, it is a parody of reality TV.
It's dumb. It's dumb. I'm sorry. It's fucking
dumb. You can think
dumb.
It's dumb, but
I feel like you could parody reality shows to a certain point, and then when it gets to a point where you're just making up shit in order just to see where it goes, it's just like I don't know. It's just it's, and again, there's even one that's even worse than this. But like, come on, man.
Young me was very salty about this one.
Yeah. Gabe, are you gonna say something?
No.
Okay. And so Heather does mention, and Chris never mentioned this in the rules, but Heather could give Lindsay her invincibility, and then I think they would have a regular vote. But that's too risky. You understand, right?
Because everyone would definitely vote Heather off.
No.
Yep. Lindsay's like, "I even built your bike." And Heather's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And everyone in this moment is watching Heather be as shitty as possible. Which if anyone didn't already think that Heather was the shittiest person around, they definitely do now. And Lindsay's just dumbstruck. "I've been helping you all this time and you didn't even like me?" Heather mentions we're not here to make friends. Duncan calls that cold, and Heather's like, "Whatever, you do the same." And he's like, "At least I'm straight with people," which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lindsay finally realizes that she really is mean. She's a two-faced, lying little...
Okay, now, when you guys were watching, what was the first curse word that came to your head?
The second time she started talking, it was fucking bitch. Uh-huh. Is what I saw her say.
Unfortunately, because I saw this episode for the first time through the Cartoon Network version, it is always going to be the no good...
mean old nasty...
Yeah, like it's always going to be that. Like I never hear her cursing behind the censor because Cartoon Network ruined it for me.
So the very first airing on Cartoon Network had the bleep.
I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it did.
Yep.
Well, then whenever I watched it for the first time, then I don't remember the being there.
Yep. So each time that it happens, the beep happens. This is one of the most, I think, fascinating instances of censorship in the show, except for maybe the Harold boot episode. But twice when the lawn censor beep happens, You just hear Lindsay go, you're a no good, selfish, heartless, pushy, bossy, mean bully of a girl. So she says that twice, so it doesn't really make much sense there, because she says the same thing twice.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like she's repeating herself. However, and I did see this, the image of the blurred middle finger is still there in the censored version.
Amazing.
This is the moment we've been waiting for. Yeah, I fucking love this moment. This is probably my single favorite moment in the entire original season.
It's just so cathartic.
It is very cathartic.
It is. It feels like something that, you know, we've been leading up to for a very long time now. And it really does feel nice to finally get Lindsay just seeing Heather for who she is.
Totally. But yeah, on the second bleep at least, I saw the lips say Lindsay say fucking bitch.
No, my brain just likes to just like fill in the pieces. And it's always different almost every time.
Nice. Lynn, I forget who said this. I think Lindsay does as they're leaving to Heather. Rather than hanging out with her, she'd rather spend the day staring at Owen's butt.
Yeah, it was like rather than going shopping with her. And I think the part that gets me though is this whole time Heather has been stoic. Has like just like been making a mean face, and then right after that, Lindsay is like, "And your shoes are tacky." And Heather's like,
"Yeah."
And everyone laughs.
Of all things, to finally get annoyed or get shocked by or insulted by is that. That just shows how shallow Heather is.
Yeah. LaShawn and Izzy finally return and crash into the ocean.
The prophesized ones. They have returned.
Yes. Lindsay is Lindsay on the dock is now like she's at peace. She's doing fine. She's excited to go.
You guys are on my mind. Last thing that I wanted to be. Oh, sorry.
Oh. She says goodbye to Greta and LaQuisha. Mm-hmm. Shauna mentions that.
I forgot about that.
Shauna mentions that, girl, we would have kept you on. And she's very gracious in defeat, which is a good character moment. She says, "I think I'm gonna miss you the most," to Owen. Owen just bawls, "Bye!" and gives her a hug.
Yeah, that was a very sentimental moment when I was younger. It made me more enraged about everything what happened.
Lindsay's parting words are, "Good luck, Heather. I hope you get everything your karma owes you." And as Lindsay's leaving on the boat, it closes on that, and we also see that Heather is standing apart from the rest of the group on the dock, which I thought was a great great shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the episode.
Wow.
Such a good episode. Even though it's so fucking garbage.
All right. It's time for ratings. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I give this episode a 10 out of 10.
Nice.
In spite of all of the garbage continuity errors and just flat out stupid changes of the rules and stuff like that and the exceptions, like how if you get wiped out, you're not eliminated and stuff like that. I just find it, the Lindsay rant, so good. it makes watching this frustrating as hell episode worth it.
I'll go next. I'm actually in a very similar boat. I'm giving this episode a 9. I fucking love it. Like I said, it's got one of my best moments in the series. The rules bullshit I've just kind of like accepted as part of the show at this point, so I'm not like I'm less, I think, mad about it than I was in previous episodes, and it just it the the way that the writers were able to get around saying, oh, the not last place, the last one to cross, is fucking hilarious to me still. So I know that the group has differing opinions on that, but I love it. The Lindsay moment kicks ass. I like that they couldn't figure out something for every character to do, so they just had LaShawn and Inzi just go fuck off for a bit. That was fun. I like this episode a lot.
It's so weird because there are moments that I love and there are things about it that I hate. And while I think we've spoken on length about how Lindsay's rant to Heather is very cathartic and how, you know, it feels like we've been building up to it a lot, I feel like there have been better moments, or maybe I wish the spotlight was much more on that and we didn't have so many so much else around, let's say, just the boys, you know, oh yeah, I got hurt here, I got hurt there,
yeah,
or, just like filling in time with other people. I wish it was much more on Lindsay and much more of a Lindsay episode. And I think it is a Lindsay episode, and I think you'd still need to have that build up with the other characters in order for other things to sometimes fall into place. But it feels like, you know, there's been a lot of build up of Lindsay, but this was a weird place to do it, and just the climax of that relationship felt strangely paced to me. Even though it still does feel cathartic. Like, I feel like there have been, like, Heather's done worse things. Like, it's not like Heather purposely, like, was like, you know, I choose you to be eliminated, sorry, because you're an easy target. It was just like, oh, you came in second. It was much more, no, I'm not going to give you my invincibility because I need to save myself. Yeah, I don't know. It felt like, you know, there's been so many other times where Lindsay's been like, is Heather maybe mean to me? No. And this didn't feel big enough to be the pushing point. Instead, it playing hand in hand with rules that, you know, on my surface level child brain makes me very upset. it brings it down for me. But then there's also, like, I enjoy moments like between Owen and Lindsay where they're just talking about how what Lindsay didn't get for Christmas, or, you know, certain little things like that, and it makes that a lot, just their relationship a lot funnier. Sorry, I've been kind of going on for a while. Overall, I'm going to give this episode a 7, but it is, like, very polarizing in my mind, but then lands somewhere nice in the middle.
Yeah.
So what was your number? Sorry.
7.
It. 7? Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, tear into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on a similar plane of Walsh. I think that there were great moments in this episode. I pretty much agree with where you said, Walsh. I think the strongest part was the rant to Heather, and the conversation between Lindsay and Owen was great. I did like the LaShawna Izzy sidetrack thing. I thought was fine. I don't know. I felt like I wish that something like this, that they made this make more sense. Mm-hmm. And I understand where you guys are coming from when this is what the show is. This show is built off of the idea of the host deciding the rules and everything, just that, you know, nothing's going to be fair about the show. That is just what it is. But I do think that there is something to be said about how, you know, when you have an audience and you have these great characters that really push storylines along and really make things better on the show, to get them out of the show through bullshit means, I think, I just don't think is good writing. I don't. I think it's just like, and to me, it felt rushed at the end. The buildup of Lindsay going after Heather at the end of the day felt like a rushed job that, yes, it had been building across a few episodes, but at the end of the day, not enough time was dedicated to it. And the challenge just felt like so much bullshit caked around this really important moment of the series where Lindsay finally realizes, hey, Heather is kind of a bitch. And for that, I give it a 6 out of 10. The 6 is basically for almost the entirety of the rant, and that's about it.
Cool. All right. This might be the farthest like discrepancy between the highest score and the lowest score, but we still have the 10 that Gabe gave to the sleep episode. All right, hit us with the drama-rama.
All right, give me 1 second. I went to the Wikipedia, and then I remembered for some reason it didn't list the episodes directly there anymore, and now list of total Dramarama episodes is a whole new different page. Very interesting. So we are going to go. We'll go with it with a nice easy one. Okay, you know, really, just to get back into it. We're all a new year. You know, just gonna relax. This is season 1, episode 7. This one was written. This one is brought to us by Jocelyn Getty. Thank you, Jocelyn. This one is called Cuttin' Corners. Izzy brings a cake to the daycare. Wanting a piece on the corners of the cake, Beth, Lashana, and Duncan try to become her best friends to get a corner piece. But as a result, they have to participate in Izzy's extreme stunts and games.
That might be the least extreme one that we have
ever
had. Yeah,
I was going to say.
Like, I was waiting for the hammer to drop.
Yeah.
And it never did.
But like, well, she disappointed me.
Honestly, I'd do anything for a corner piece.
It's true.
I'm not a big icing fan. Then again, I'm not a big cake fan in general.
Same. I fucking love cake.
Yeah, I love if we're talking corner pieces, I love like a corner piece of a brownie, like that's I love that shit.
Oh boy,
yeah, that's some good shit. It's crushed around on the side.
Ooh, okay. I'm looking at it, and it is not just that it is just a corner piece, but it's like a very unique. Hold on, I'm gonna actually say what the Total Drama Wiki says, and then I'll describe the cake better because they have a picture.
Okay.
The crazy girl brought a uniquely designed cake with 4 large corners to school. 3 of the kids consider to have one of the quarters for themselves by making friends with her, but are they prepared for what she has in store for them?
Okay.
The crazy girl. And it is looks like this big castle, and each corner is like a pillar of a castle with like a flag on top, and the whole thing looks like it's made of chocolate.
Cool.
So my only question then, are we sure it's chocolate?
Oh, don't go there.
Considering this fucking show. Considering this fucking show. Considering this show and how everything has been to this point and the fact that they're trying to imply that a baby cooked a cake.
No, true. It's mud. It's just mud.
Okay.
Wow, there is a lot
I don't know what you're talking
of,
about.
There's a lot of violence and skydiving. And
so you're like, telling me that they're having animated characters do extreme stunts for personal gain? I wonder if they could make a show about that.
I wonder.
I wonder if they were inspired by like the 15 out of 30 episodes of Total Drama Island.
This has been the Dock of Shame podcast. See y'all next time.
Goodbye.
The Dock of Shame podcast is brought to you by Team Chaos Productions. Find us on Twitter at Dock of Shame and find more of our work at Team Chaos Pods.
So it is actually a race. It's not just build the best bike. They do have to race them. But they have to, they're going to race someone else's bike.
Plot twist.
They draw their names randomly, and if their bike makes it across, then they get to race their own bike in the final round. So it's kind of like it becomes, did you build your bike well enough that anyone could ride it and sturdy enough that it like makes the whole race?
It's like Masonic Riders. It's not just a race. It's a special race to see who's the fastest.
That's what a race is.
Dr. Eggman says that.
I hate Sonic dialogue.